And because I don't always remember to mention it, I will remind us tonight that out in the lobby on our front table are each week a couple of get well cards, greeting cards to members of our community. Make sure you stop by that table and sign your name. Tell them that TBS is thinking of them on Shabbat. So tonight, being the first Friday night of the month, is a family Shabbat service, which means I usually tell a story for us to draw a lesson from. And there's also a good Torah portion. Well, they're all good Torah portions, but this one, this week's Torah portion, Korach, has a pretty juicy story of its own. And we just celebrated Independence Day, so I don't know, maybe something about freedom in America. Well, let's see how we might roll all of these together tonight. Back in 1961, a story was published called The Sneetches by Theodore Gazelle, who was better known by his pen name of Dr. Seuss. Do you remember that story? How many of you read that story several times to a child? How many of you had that story read to you several times, or both? Well, we don't have quite enough time tonight for me to read the entire story to you with all of its wonderful Seussian passages, but I am going to share a few excerpts just so you can get the main point. You see, there were two types of sneetches out there on the beaches. Now, the star-bellied sneetches had bellies with stars. The plain-bellied sneetches had none upon thars. Those stars weren't so big, they were really so small, you might think such a thing wouldn't matter at all. But because they had stars, all the star-bellied sneetches would brag, "We're the best kind of sneetches on beaches." With their snoots in the air, they would sniff and they'd snort, "We'll have nothing to do with the plain-bellied sort." And whenever they met some, when they were out walking, they'd hike right on past them without even talking. Seems sneetch society was pretty divided, right? Those with stars discriminated against those without in ways that Dr. Seuss describes in rhyming detail. The plain-bellied sneetches were quite dejected at the structural inequality ingrained in their society, until one day a stranger arrived, Sylvester McMonkey McBean. He had a solution for the plain-bellied sneetches. He set up an elaborate machine and he proclaims, "You want stars like a star-belly sneetch? My friends, you can have them for $3 each." The plain-bellied sneetches pay this fee, they enter this elaborate machine of his, and they emerge at the other side with stars on their bellies. They show off their new bellies to the star-belly sneetches, and they demand to be accepted. Well, the star-belly sneetches want none of that and bemoan their fate. Sylvester McMonkey McBean has a solution for them, too. He also creates a star-off machine, which for only $10 each will make you again the best sneetches on beaches. So the star-belly folk pay their money, get their stars removed, and once again claim superiority. You can see where this is going to go, can't you? A never-ending procession of sneetches paying their money, going in one machine to getting a star, then just as quickly paying their money again to go into the other machine to get their star removed. It soon gets to the point where, Dr. Seuss tells us, they kept running through until neither the plain nor the star bellies knew whether this one was that one or that one was which one or which one was what one or which one was who. When they've spent all of their money, Sylvester McMonkey McBean packs up his two elaborate machines and his pile of money, and he drives away. And he says, and he laughed as he drove in his car up the beach, "They never will learn. No, you can't teach a sneetch." Now, Dr. Seuss's allegory about racism teaches an important lesson about the things that do or do not make a real difference between people. And it's an important lesson in a great book published in 1961 for us to read even to this day. But I'll confess I've been thinking more this week about the character of Sylvester McMonkey McBean. Here is this guy who comes into a society facing difficulties, and rather than helping them understand each other and find ways of bridging their differences, he makes them worse. He sets the two sides up against each other, and he profits from the discord. He eggs them on. He encourages them to hate each other. He amps up the issue that divides them, and he personally benefits from the ensuing mayhem. His only goals are power and money, not solutions. He thrives on divisiveness. Now, our Torah portion this week doesn't rhyme nearly as well as Dr. Seuss, but it also tells the story of a guy out for power. As the Israelites wander in the wilderness, this man named Korach challenges Moses for leadership of the community. He claims to lead a populist uprising, seeking equal authority for everyone. But our ancient rabbinic commentators point out that in truth, his real goal, Korach's real aim, is power for himself. He fans the flame of divisiveness. He gathers other tribal leaders into his scheme against Moses. He aggravates past grievances, and he inflames the tensions in the community. It is worth noting that ultimately Korach doesn't succeed. Moses is, after all, God's chosen leader, and you can't get too far in biblical times fighting against that. But Korach riles up society in different segments against each other and against God, in any case, such that the Torah tells us that ultimately 15,000 people lose their lives in the fighting and in the plague. It's all just for Korach's sense of power. In discussing this portion, the rabbis of the Mishnah around the year 200 CE point to Korach's rebellion as an example of an unworthy dispute, one that serves no worthy purpose, no useful aim, one whose animosity doesn't further any cause, but only exists for the trouble that it causes. Friends, I worry that our society today has too many people playing the role of Sylvester McMonkey McBean or Korach. There are too many people who seem to thrive on divisiveness or who seek to amplify differences, who want to find sources of trouble between people. Not that there aren't differences of opinions on important issues in society. There are, and that's okay to disagree. We should find ways of discussing them and working towards at least understanding each other's points of view beyond our own. But we are confronted today by a series of demagogues at work, people who will make use of popular prejudices and false claims, who will set people against each other in order to exercise or claim power. These are the folks who rile up restrictions on healthcare options for trans kids, or for pregnant people, instead of seeking a medical system that ensures the best care for all. These are the people who want to ban books in libraries, telling everyone what they can and cannot read, or who want to post religious doctrines in classrooms, instead of ensuring an excellent education for each child. These are the people who will demonize immigrants, people who come to this country seeking freedom and opportunity, and instead of helping them integrate into society and add their skills and talents to benefit our country. When these people intentionally exaggerate issues to cause discord, when people encourage hatred of those who think or act or believe or look or love differently, when people stoke the fires of differences and then benefit from the mayhem that follows, well, these folks are no better than a Korach or a Sylvester McMonkey McBean. Now, friends, we know the end of the Korach story. He and all of their followers get their comeuppance and they perish. What about Sylvester McMonkey McBean? Do you know what happens to him? It seems he gets away pretty free. He does drive off with all of the Sneetch's money. But While he thought that the Sneetches would never learn, Dr. Seuss actually tells us otherwise. He writes, "But McBean was quite wrong, I'm happy to say. The Sneetches got really quite smart on that day. That day, they decided that Sneetches are Sneetches, and no kind of Sneetch is the best on the beaches. That day, all the Sneetches forgot about stars, and whether they had one or not, upon thars." Ultimately, the divisiveness of Sylvester McMonkey McBean fails. The Sneetches learn to accept one another as they are, and they heal the rift in their society and focus on what is truly important. That would be a pretty good outcome for our American story, wouldn't you say? To reject divisiveness, to find ways to rationally discuss our differences, to focus on what is truly important? Maybe, my friends, that is the responsibility that we'll take from reading Korach this year. That's our lesson from Dr. Seuss's tale. Not to let those who would distract or divide us stop us from creating the society that we want to see. And so, as this story time comes to an end, may this be God's will, and let us all say, Amen.